Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
If you were to buy a lottery ticket, what are the odds that you think you would actually win the Powerball lottery? It's 1 in 292 million. Pretty good odds. So you're saying there's a chance. If you play basketball in high school, what do you think the odds are that you will play in the NBA? 1 in 3,300. Honestly, you have a better chance at the NBA than you do with the lottery. Or for those who are afraid of thunderstorms, maybe, what do you think the chances are that you will be killed by a lightning strike? 1 in 80,000. Again, you have a better chance of winning the lottery, or a better chance of being struck by lightning than winning the lottery. But the most important question, what are the odds question, is this. What are the odds that a man can be brutally beaten and crucified and then come back to life? The odds are astronomical. It's literally one in infinity. Why? Because people don't come back to life. It's impossible. Except, it happened. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Today we wrap up our sermon series on the book of Exodus, and today we come to Exodus chapter 15. What are the odds that a group of Israelite slaves would defeat the most powerful army in the entire world? That is, the Egyptians, led by mighty Pharaoh himself. I don't know the exact number. I couldn't tell you what the exact odds are, but I know it is highly unlikely. The odds aren't good. You may remember from Exodus 1, the Egyptians put slave masters over all of the Israelites, and they oppressed them by forced labor, and they had to make bricks, and they had to do field work, and they had to do all kinds of things for the Egyptian people. But against all odds, God takes these slaves who are utterly oppressed, living these bitter lives, and he frees them. He beats the odds. What are the odds that a swarm of locusts will come into Egypt? What are the odds that all of the water will turn to blood? What are the odds that there will be an infestation of frogs or flies or gnats? What are the odds that the livestock will start to die in a hailstorm? And all of this within a relatively short amount of time. The odds are astronomical, and yet it happened, and God did it. Why? To beat the odds. He did it to save his people. What are the odds that after Israelites get to be set free, that there would be some sort of mighty east wind that would part the Red Sea, that way some people could walk through on dry ground? And if the odds there aren't just totally insane, what are the odds that after every single last Israelite gets through that water, that the wind would stop and all of Pharaoh's army would be drowned? When God serves his people, the odds are always 1 in 1. There is a 100% guarantee that God will follow through and that he will save his people over and over again, even if he has to change the laws of physics to do it. No wonder the Israelites sing. In fact, this is our sermon text for this morning from Exodus 15. We actually confessed it during our intro this morning. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The Israelites sing this song because they recognize all of God's goodness, all of his salvation miracles for them. And we might not have always associated them, but this is the precursor to our Easter response. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. They say the same thing. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and He is my salvation. What a wonderful gift. The truth is that opposition began early in Christ's ministry. Pharisees joined forces, pulled together with the Herodians, plotting against the Lord. His opponents then claimed that he was demon-possessed. The scribes came to test him and try to trap him in his words. And finally, their scheming, it all ended up with him trying to get this death penalty thing put out. Right? They put him on sort of a mock trial, this unfair situation where everything was stacked against Jesus. And the question is, who could persevere? Which one of us, with all of these odds stacked against us, could actually endure that sort of persecution? Not many. In fact, maybe not even one. But Jesus can. With all of the odds stacked against him, Jesus perseveres through his entire 3-year ministry, even though everybody is opposed to him. And yet, even when he is arrested, he willingly allows his captors to take him back to Jerusalem. He's bound, he's accused, he's mocked, he's stripped naked, he's beaten to a pulp. Against all odds, he survives a beating he should not have survived. Against all odds, his body keeps going when it should have given out a long time ago. And it's also that he can actually bear his own cross to be nailed to it. Even after the severe beating, he still survives for 6 hours hanging from the tree. Crucified, dead, buried. What are the odds that God could die? Gods don't die. God can't die. It's one in infinity. It just doesn't happen. It's impossible. And yet, it did. In the person of Jesus Christ, God died. Even his disciples, even the women who go to the tomb early that morning, they think it's all over. It's all done. No one comes back from this. But then the angels come and announce the good news. Jesus is not here. Against all odds, Jesus lives. Because God always beat the odds. My friends, what are the odds that have been stacked against you? The truth is that we all feel that way from time to time. Maybe you grew up in a family that just didn't work, right? Some people in the world, they kind of walk around like walking zombies. I'm sure you've seen them, right? Something happened to them in their younger years, and now they're just utterly broken inside. And they don't know what to do. And they reach a certain point in their life, and they think what once was broken, it will never be fixed. The odds are against them. Maybe you feel that way. In fact, there's plenty of atrocity that happens in our life. I mean, this is, as the odds go, 1 in 3 people have parents who get divorced. 1 in 4 women were sexually abused as children. 1 in 7 people grew up with an alcoholic parent. I don't know how many, but there are families who have absentee dads, overwhelmed moms, and abusive siblings. And the odds, honestly, they get stacked against us. Even from very early on, at a very young age, even as Jesus had the odds stacked against him very early in his ministry. Or maybe the odds are stacked against you because you're living through a loss of some kind. Has your spouse died? Has your marriage died? Has your child died? Or a parent? You have that empty feeling that nothing can fill? Just feels like the odds are just so stacked against you. And maybe it's not even as much as having a person taken away. Maybe it's your dreams that have died. Did you have hopes? Did you have things that you wanted to accomplish when you were younger? And now you look back on your life and you think about all of the things you didn't get to do. Maybe all of the things that there is no chance you can ever do. Yes, sometimes we feel like the odds are stacked against us. Maybe the odds are against a destructive habit. Gambling, drugs, alcohol, you name it. There are a plethora of things in this life that make us feel like all of the odds are against us. And when we begin to measure the odds, well, it's only a 1 in 292 million chance I'll get out of this. Or are the odds 1 in 3,300 or 1 in 80,000? And we fall into despair. We think there's never getting out. It just can't happen. Which is why today you need to be reminded of two historical facts. Both were seemingly impossible. The first is that God took a group of slaves and he allowed them to conquer over the greatest military might that the world had known to that time. God saved his people against all odds because he is always there to take care of them, no matter what. The second, Jesus Christ is risen today. He didn't stay dead. Against all odds, he came back to life because God wasn't going to leave you all by yourself. He wasn't going to claim to be God and show you the glimpse of heaven that he was ushering in just to take it all away. He comes back to life for you to show you that the odds mean nothing. God doesn't care if it's one in infinity. He will overcome the odds to have you, so that you can have salvation, so that you can be forgiven, so that the brokenness of your life and all of the things that we have to deal with here get overcome. That's the God you have in Jesus Christ. Paul put it this way: if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit. The truth is that God uses words to reassure us, to reinforce our faith, to tell us that everything's going to be okay in the midst of insurmountable odds. He makes the dead alive. He takes brokenness, he puts it back together. God can restore anything that is lost, and in fact, he's promised to do so. You want a guarantee? God will take care of you both now and forever. It all started on that very first Easter. Jesus showed you that death and sin and Satan can be overcome. He showed you that through impossible situations, he is still there to handle the things in the world that we cannot. Jesus' own resurrection promises you resurrection. Or if you want it from the words of Jesus himself, because I live, you also will live against all odds. In Jesus' name, amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.